For the course of the last 3 years or so, we have been in a series of lessons entitled The Sayings of the Crucifixion. Now, the reason it's taking that long is because I only do about one of these lessons each month. Today is the 33rd lesson of this particular series. The series begins when Jesus and the apostles leave the upper room and they enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the series will end when Jesus finally is ascended back to the right hand of the throne of God. We have looked at Jesus' prayer in the garden. We had looked at His arrest. We have looked at His trials. We have already viewed His crucifixion, and we have seen Him buried, and He has already been risen from the grave. We are now in a section where Jesus is constantly making appearances to various individuals. And in our last lesson, Jesus had appeared to seven of His apostles at the Sea of Galilee. And there were two wonderful things that transpired as far as the disciples would have been concerned. First, there was a miracle that Jesus performed. We refer to it as the miracle of fishes. They had fished all night and they had caught absolutely no fish. Jesus told them to cast their net on the right-hand side of the boat, and it filled the net so full that they could not even drag it into the ship. 153 fish. They eventually made it to the seashore, and there they found another wonderful experience. Jesus had prepared a meal for those seven individuals. On that particular occasion, Peter was present, so he witnessed Jesus again. Notice we say again, because this was not the first time that Jesus had ever appeared unto Peter. Peter was there the very first time Jesus appeared to the disciples, and that was on the very day of the resurrection. He appeared the following week as well. And on that occasion, not only was Peter there, but Thomas was there, who had been absent the previous week. According to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, we find that the Lord had made another appearance to Peter, and yet we have absolutely no details regarding that particular appearance. Thus, at this point in time, at the Sea of Galilee, Peter has seen our Lord four times following His resurrection. On this particular occasion, Jesus, after they had dined, turned His attention directly to Peter. Notice what the text says. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Uh-oh, it's about to get serious, is it not? The subtitle of our lesson this morning is this: Jesus causes Peter to examine himself. That's found in John 21, verses 15 through 17. Before we get into the text, however, I want us to go back and I want us to do a little background information, a little review on some things that we already know up to this particular point. The first thing is this: during Jesus' earthly ministry, Peter was always a very bold apostle, was he not? And he always boasted and he always bragged how he would never be offended in Jesus Christ. He would never deny the Christ. He would be willing to even lay down his life for Jesus. And we have statements to all three of those effects. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Jesus says this: though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I what? Not be offended. Two verses later, Peter again is talking, and he says this: though I should die with thee, I will what? I will never deny thee. In that upper room, Peter even bragged to the Lord when he says this: Lord, why can I not follow thee now? Now notice what he says: I will lay down my life for thee. Peter is the only apostle that we know of who makes so many statements, boasting that he's going to remain steadfast, that he's going to be faithful, that he will never, ever deny the Lord, over and over and over again. And to Peter's credit, when that mob entered into the garden, he was willing to fight, was he not? The Bible says that he drew his sword and he smote off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. However, Peter didn't understand the Lord's mission. He didn't understand the Lord's purpose. He was told to put that sword up, what didn't he? And the ear of Malchus was healed by Jesus, and Jesus was arrested and led away from the garden on that particular occasion, and something transpired in the mind of Peter after our Lord was arrested. There was some kind of a change in Peter's mind. His temperament, his perception, something had been radically altered when he sees Jesus arrested and being led away into the palace of Herod. Oh yes, he and John follow closely, do they not? John knows the high priest, and he is immediately given access into the palace, and it was John who then secured access for Peter to enter into the palace area as well. And while there, Peter is confronted, is he not? Now, the first two times he's confronted, I'm amazed. Because you see, the first time he's confronted, it's just by a little damsel. Just a little servant girl. She is the one who is the keeper of the door. And when she sees Peter and she hears Peter, she knows that he's a Galilean. And she immediately says, "Oh, you're one of his followers. You're one of his disciples." And Peter immediately says, "I know not the man." Not long thereafter, another little maid passes by Peter, hears him talking, sees him, and she too says, "You must be one of his followers." And again, he says, "I know not the man." This time, he said it with an oath, the Bible says. He's standing around warming himself with the fire, and some of the men hear him speak. Again, they know he's a Galilean. Some of them may have even seen him with Jesus out in the temple area or in the synagogue. And immediately they say, "You must be one of his followers." And the Bible says that Peter began to curse and to swear, "I know not the man." Think about that. The man who was so courageous, the man who was so bold, the man who boasted of his loyalty to the Lord has now denied the Lord three times, hasn't he? Three things happen after Peter has denied the Lord. Number one, the cock crew, didn't it? According to Matthew 26, verse 71. Secondly, the Bible tells us in Luke 22, verse 61, that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine the piercing gaze of our Lord after that third denial? And in the very next verse, the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here is an apostle of our Lord who's defeated, is he not? Here is an apostle of our Lord who has been overcome with temptation, overcome with fear, and overcome with sin, and has denied his precious Savior three times. What's interesting is this. Peter had seen the Lord three times before he saw him at the Sea of Galilee. And yet, there doesn't appear to have been any discussion whatsoever between the Lord and Peter about his denial. Can you imagine the first time Peter sees Jesus after his resurrection? Uh-oh, the Lord's here. I bet he's going to confront me about what I did. Nothing. A second time and a third time passes, and still there's been no confrontation whatsoever about what Peter has done. Peter begins to feel good about himself again, doesn't he? Ah, that's all behind me. I don't have to ever think about that anymore. Yeah, I did wrong, but the Lord's forgiven me. He's not even talking about it. And now, the Lord chooses to speak to Peter. Again, we ask some questions. Was this going to be a rebuke of Peter? Was this going to be an interrogation of Peter? Was this just finally a teachable moment for Peter? Was this what some might refer to as a little bit of revenge against Peter for what he has done? Is this to shame and embarrass Peter in front of those other six disciples? Why this occasion? What is all this about? Folks, I don't believe it was for any of those things. Again, let's go back to our title. Jesus causes Peter to examine himself. We're going to John 21, verses 15 through 17, and we're going to be staying in those three verses for the remainder of this lesson. Folks, this examination is important. One reason is because Peter has been through a lot in the last several weeks, hasn't he? He's been bold. He's been courageous. He's seen his Lord arrested. He's seen his Lord placed on the cross of Calvary. He's denied his Lord. He's seen his Lord resurrected. He's been through a lot emotionally in the past several days, too. It's not going to be long until the Holy Spirit is outpoured and Peter, along with the other 11 apostles, are going to begin to fulfill the mission of taking the gospel to the entirety of the world. And folks, it was Peter who had been commissioned, had he not, to open the doors of the kingdom to both Jews and Gentiles. The question is this: was Peter really ready? Was Peter, deep down inside, ready to do what really needed to be done for the Lord? I came up with a second title for this section, and it's this: Christ's Probing and Peter's Pondering. In every one of these verses, there are three points that are made that just repeat themselves. Number one, there's going to be a challenge. Number two, there's going to be a commitment. And number three, there's going to be a command that is issued. Let's look at the three sections. And that's the way that I titled them. Section one is verse 15. It begins with the challenge of Jesus Christ. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Folks, this conversation, as we said, has just turned personal, has it not? When Jesus Christ is looking you eyeball to eyeball and calls your name and asks you a question, folks, that's as personal as it gets. Now, what's interesting is this. There are six other apostles who are gathered around that fire. Six other men who know exactly what Peter has done as well. And they are listening to this conversation, they are hearing the words of Jesus, and they are seeing the reaction of Peter on this particular occasion. And notice what the discussion is about. The discussion is about Peter's love for the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you, that is a personal issue, is it not? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? That little word, lovest, what does it mean? What's the definition? Strong says it means this: to love in a social or moral sense. He does tell us that this is the Greek word agape. Thayer defines the word as follows: to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, notice that last part, to love dearly. Vines, however, gives us an even more in-depth definition of this word. Notice, the nature of God's love. Folks, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? The nature of God's love. It seeks the goodwill of others, and it never, ever seeks ill will against its neighbor. My friends, when we talk about agape love, we are talking about the supreme form of love. Why? Because it is the love that springs from the Almighty God. Peter, do you love me with the highest form of love that man could manifest toward his master? Notice, too, that Jesus says this: Peter, lovest thou me, what? More than these. The question is, what are the these? And as you read and as you study, there are two main answers to that particular question. One is this: Peter, lovest thou me more than these boats? More than these nets? More than these fish, more than the Sea of Galilee, more than the income that is brought in from your fishing expeditions, more than the beauty of all that is surrounding you on this particular occasion? Do you love me more than these? Remember, it was Peter who had said, I go a-fishing, wasn't it? You see, Peter was going back to his old occupation. And so the Lord could be asking, Peter, do you love me more than that old life of fishing that you used to have? Or he may have been asking this: Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these apostles do? You're the one who boasted you would never deny me. You're the one who boasted you would never be offended because of me. You're the one who boasted that you would lay down your life for me. And yet you denied me three times. Are you now willing to say that you love me more than all of these other men that are gathered around here today? Folks, it really doesn't matter what the these are, does it? What is Jesus expressing to Peter? Peter, do you love me above all else? That leads to the next point, the commitment. Notice what Peter says. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I what? That I love thee. Wow. Peter confirms his love for the Master, does he not? And you and I are thinking, man, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? You see, in the English, we don't have a way to distinguish between different kinds of love, but in the Greek, we do, folks. Peter chose a totally different word when he answered the Lord on this occasion. Peter, do you agape me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. The two loves are not the same. This little word, phileo, Strong defines it as to be a friend to, fond of. Having what? Having attachment of feelings or sentiments toward another. Thayer says that it means this: to be affectionately toward, to be kindly toward, to be welcoming toward, to befriend. Vines defines it as tender affection. Here's what's interesting. Peter is well aware of the difference between the two words. Peter knows exactly what he was asked. Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that supreme form of love that springs from God Himself? Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I phileo you. Wow. He proclaims His love, but guess what? He cannot claim agape love. He loves Jesus like a brother. He has a deep affection and a deep fondness toward the Lord Jesus. But for Peter to say, I love you with agape love, I just can't say that. Folks, here's a question. Can you imagine the examination that is going on in the mind of Peter as he attempts to answer the Lord's question? Eyeball to eyeball with the Savior, and the only thing he wants to know is, do you love me? And you cannot respond with the kind of love that the Savior asks you about. It's hard, isn't it? But what's interesting is this, the command that follows. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. It appears as though the Lord accepts Peter's answer as being true and being sincere, doesn't it? And he exhorts Peter to feed his sheep. The church is now pictured as a sheepfold, folks. And sheep need to be fed, don't they? That little word feed on this particular occasion strictly means to feed, to take them to the pasture, to give them a place where they could eat, to provide nourishment unto them. Peter, feed my sheep. Would Peter do that? Oh, yes. He took on four different roles of feeding, didn't he? He was an apostle. He was an elder of the church. He was a preacher of the gospel, and he was a teacher. Folks, there's very few men who fulfilled all four of those positions. We could probably add on there, too, father, could we not? A father has to be a person who feeds the sheep. He's the head of the house and told to feed his children, isn't he? And as an elder, I know that Peter had children. Every teaching role that there could be in the church, guess what? Peter had it, and Jesus is now exhorting Peter. Peter, feed my sheep. Folks, there's a lesson to be learned, isn't there? Peter's betrayal. Folks, that was serious business. You know that? It was serious. However, Peter was not removed from his apostolic office. That's amazing, isn't it? You see, men are human. And men are going to make mistakes, aren't they? There is not a perfect human being on the face of the earth. There's not one in this building, not one that can boast of that. And yes, Peter had made a serious error, but folks, when an individual repents of his transgressions, guess what? They can often be used for the glory of the Almighty God. There are still places where they can be effective and work in the Lord's kingdom and fulfill His mission. And Peter was allowed to stay in his apostleship. A sin does not necessarily disqualify you from serving God. Section number 2, verse 16. It begins with the same challenge. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Notice the word agape. Simon, do you agape me? There's the commitment again, but again, he cannot go to the level of agape love. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. The section ends with the same command. Feed my sheep. Here's what's interesting here. The word feed here is a totally different word than the previous one. The last word very simply meant what? To feed. That's all it means. Take them out to the pasture and make certain they get food to eat. This word is a much broader word. And it means this, to tend a flock, to keep the sheep, to act like a what? To act like a shepherd. Folks, it's a broad word that includes every duty and every obligation that a shepherd could possibly have. Lead the sheep, feed the sheep, care for the sheep, protect the sheep. Whatever is a responsibility of a shepherd, Peter, I want you to fulfill that obligation. And that leads to the third section. And it begins with a challenge again, doesn't it? Notice, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now remember, Jesus in the first two questions used the word agape for love, didn't he? Not this time. This time, Jesus uses the word phileo. And the only way you know that is by going into the Greek text and looking at the language, folks. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter, do you agape me? And both times he says, no, Lord, I phileo you. The third question, Peter, do you phileo me? Folks, the Lord challenges Peter with his own words, doesn't he? You see, it's still a part of what? It's still a part of the self-examination. In other words, here's what the Lord is saying. Peter, you have said that you phileo me. Fine. Do you really phileo me? What's interesting about verse 17 is there's one additional statement in here that we need to consider. And I've entitled it The Concern. Notice what the text says. Peter was grievous because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He was grieved, folks. That little word grieve means this, to be distressed, to be saddened. Thayer says that it means to make sorrowful, to affect with sadness. Look at that next word. To affect with uneasiness. Vine says it means this, to cause pain of mind, to grieve. When Jesus asked that question the third time, folks, Peter was visibly upset. I am grieved because he asked this. I am distressed in my mind because he's asked me this the third time. And the question we ask is what? Why? I'm telling you there's something serious going on in the mind of Peter as he goes through this process, folks. Why is he so grieved? Why is he so sad? Why is he so distressed? Could it be that it's because he didn't think the Lord really believed him? I've told you twice, Lord, that I love you. And you know I love you. So why do you keep asking me this over and over and over again? Maybe that was the reason. Or could it be that Peter is now fully cognizant of what he had done to the Lord three times in the palace of Herod? I betrayed my Lord three times. I cannot admit that I love him with agape love. Now he asks me, do I really love him with phileo love? And his thoughts on that situation and what he had done brought grief to his heart. Folks, on the night that he denied the Lord, the Bible says, Peter wept bitterly. And maybe those feelings were coming back to him again. What's Peter going to say? What's going to be his answer? And I find it interesting, he says this, and he said unto him, Lord, listen to him, thou knowest what? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Isn't it interesting that he first acknowledges that the Lord knows everything? Lord, I know that I am standing before the Almighty God. I know I am standing before the individual who can look deep into the recesses of my heart and know everything there is to know about me. I know you know everything. And I know you know that I love you. He makes the same affirmation the third time, doesn't he? Folks, I want you to think about it. Peter had sinned, and he had sinned grievously. But guess what? Even after you and I have sinned against God, it is possible for us to restore our love for our Master and serve Him in godly ways. And three times, Peter lets the Lord know, yes, Lord, I love you. How did Jesus respond? He responded the same way he has done on two prior occasions. Peter, feed my sheep. Interestingly enough, he goes back to the very first word, the simple word. Feed my sheep. Make certain that my sheep eat. One of the main responsibilities of a shepherd. And folks, with that, this portion of the conversation comes to an end. He's not through talking to Peter, but this portion of the conversation comes to an end. Question. Do you think this discussion between Peter and the Lord was difficult for Peter? It would have been for me had I been there. You see, he was forced to what? He was forced to look inwardly. Most of us don't like to do that. Oh yeah, I love to judge others. I can do that pretty quick, but don't let me judge myself. And yet Peter was having to do that three times, isn't he? Secondly, his love for the Lord was being challenged by the Lord Himself. How would you like that challenge? Vic, do you really love me? Vic, do you really love me? Hey, Vic, do you really love me? That's tough, folks. I want you to think about this next point. He had to admit to his level of love, did he not? And guess what? His level of love was not the supreme form of love. He had to admit to a level that was below that. Would you do that? If the Lord asks you, do you love me supremely? Oh, yes, Lord, I love you supremely. That's what we would say, because we know that's what he wants to hear. That's not what Peter did. Folks, Peter honestly examined his heart. And he says, Lord, I love you with phileo love. That's tough, isn't it? He couldn't confirm agape love on that particular occasion. That's a hard conversation, folks. But it was also an encouraging conversation, was it not? Why would he be encouraged? Because three times Jesus told him to what? Feed my sheep. In other words, he was acknowledging the fact that, yes, I do understand that you love me, that you do phileo me, that it is a brotherly love, and I want you to continue in your position. He was not rejected from being an apostle, folks. He was going to have year after year after year doing the Lord's work, was he not? He would open the keys, use the keys of the kingdom to open the door of the church to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He would write two epistles in the New Testament. He would be one of Jesus's under-shepherds. And what an encouragement that is. So yes, even though there is self-examination, there is also deep encouragement, isn't there? Now, before we leave, every one of us needs to ask ourselves that question. What if our Lord stood before us and just asked, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Folks, this morning, do you love Jesus with a supreme form of love, agape love? This morning, do you love Jesus more than anything else on the earth? People or things? Or are there some things that we love more than our Master? And before we answer that question, we need to remember something Peter said to Jesus in the course of that conversation. Lord, thou knowest all things. Before I answer the question, I need to remember that the Lord already knows the answer. You know that? He can already look deep into my heart and know exactly how much I do or do not love Him. How do we prove our love for the Lord? It's simple, isn't it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3. If you're not a Christian, if you've never obeyed the gospel, but you truly love the Lord, guess what? You've got to obey him, don't you? He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. And the commands are simple. Hear the truth. Believe in the Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what those on Pentecost were told to do, weren't they? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Dear Christian, what if you had been in the place of Peter? How would you have responded? Perhaps today you need to renew your love for him. Maybe you need to take your love up to another notch. to a different plateau. Maybe there's some things you need to scratch off your love list in order to get our Lord in the top priority. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?